Wednesday, April 27th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, yesterday we talked a lot about progressive Christianity. We drew our thoughts from an interview that Michael Youssef had with the Christian Post. Harry, today we've got an example of exactly what we were talking about yesterday. And again, we would encourage our folks, if they didn't hear yesterday's podcast, to go back into the archives and listen to it. But today, another story out of the Christian Post, the United Methodist Church's highest court has affirmed the striking down of parts of a resolution passed by a regional body that called for the ordination of non-celibate homosexuals. Now, the good news is they struck it down. The bad news is that the United Methodist Church already has given the okay to celibate homosexuals being ministers in the church.
Tom, you're exactly right. Today is a case study of the very thing that Michael Youssef was warning about that we took the time to develop. And there's three things in this particular article that I think are very important for our listeners to hear. Now, why? Well, first of all, the Methodist Church is a casualty of liberal Christianity. And let me say again, liberal Christianity is actually not Christian. And I'm not saying that there aren't some in liberal denominations and churches that aren't Christians. I am saying the theological system is non-Christian. It is anti-Christian. It takes the theological vocabulary of Christianity and undermines it by using another dictionary, thus denying the very message that the words are meant to convey by giving them new definitions that attempt to exterminate the biblical message because it is an offense to the watching world. And wanting to be culturally relevant, they then become culturally accommodationist. Well, the same thing that happened to the mainline denominations, which includes the Methodist Church, is now happening to the evangelical church. And there are some evangelical Methodists that are now having to deal with this. And that is another movement called progressive Christianity, which again seeks cultural relevance for the new mission of cultural transformation. And thus it falls prey to the same trap of liberal Christianity, which is cultural accommodation and first theological adulteration and then finally theological apostasy. So now what's left of evangelicals in the Methodist Church are now being assaulted by progressive Christianity, whereby cultural accommodation is encouraged. Now, here's how they've done it. And the reason this is important is the same thing is now being insinuated and inserted into the Southern Baptist denomination with the Cultural Revolution, specifically the sexual obsessive cultural revolution of the LGBTQAI plus movement. And it has come to my own beloved denomination, the PCA. We find pulpits in the PCA becoming open to social justice instead of biblical justice. Now, jump over here to the Methodist Church, which now has a movement to ordain side A professing Christians, and that is, there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. Get over it. God made us that way, and let's seek and welcome such practitioners into the ordained leadership, not the membership, but the ordained leadership. Well, let me ask you, where do you think this movement in the Methodist Church to ordain practicing homosexuals into the leadership of the church, where do you think it began?
Well, Harry, I would guess it began the same place the PCA is right now.
Exactly. It began with side B. But do we put into ordained leadership and thereby state they are above reproach those who say they are still same-sex attracted, still gay Christian identification, but we're going to be celibate? Are we going to put that into the leadership or not? I believe the answer is no, that those who identify with what God declares an abomination cannot be in ordained leadership. What does it take to be ordained into leadership? You have to be above reproach in terms of thought, word, and deed. Not perfect, but above reproach. Therefore, your identity is Christ. And so that's where the battle is. Well, the Methodists said, well, we're going to allow side B, non-practicing homosexual identifying men and women into the gospel ministry. And where are they now? Side A. Now, they haven't voted side A in. They still endorse side B, but they don't enforce side B. There's two things I want us to see here. The route to becoming a casualty of the sexual revolution and its sexual anarchy is side B in the ordained ministry. That's where every one of these mainline churches started. And then they moved to side A, and that principle is cultural accommodation. The second thing I want you to see is that it doesn't start with endorsing side B or endorsing side A, but not enforcing biblical standards, and therefore you accommodate sexual deviancy in the ordained leadership, which eventually promotes sexual deviancy in the church membership. Tom, here's what I want people to see. It doesn't begin with changing your confession. All of these churches, they continue to endorse orthodoxy, but they did not enforce it. That means a lack of church discipline of the leadership. Secondly, side B always leads to side A. Historically, you cannot find any church that accommodated side B. We're going to ordain self-identifying homosexuals who commit to celibacy that didn't move to ordaining self-identifying homosexuals who then practice homosexuality. And then thirdly, it always begins with a workaround. For instance, when egalitarianism comes into the church, that is gender interchangeability. Men and women are the same, they interchange them. Then you move away from ordination of qualified men only. But you don't immediately start ordaining women into the ministry. What you first do is you create new terms to put them into the ministry. And instead of ordination, you start calling it commissioning, but you're still practicing ordination. And they're still being put on the same board with the same responsibilities and voting privileges, etc. It's called a workaround, and that's what begins to happen. Listen, nobody is more committed to women in leadership than I am, but not the ordained leadership or to be elders. But that's what the Bible says, and the Bible is either going to be our rule of faith and practice, or you're going to dismiss it under the pressure of the culture. And so the Methodist Church becomes a case study of where liberal Christianity and then progressive Christianity leads people into infidelity to Christ, theological aberration first, workarounds, theological adulteration, that is the inability to enforce what you confessedly endorse, and then finally theological apostasy as the faith is abandoned completely. And it looks like a new Methodist denomination globally is going to be the result of this. And here's why I believe it can still be one in the Southern Baptist and the PCA. Because the Southern Baptist and the PCA had not been infiltrated by theological liberalism. Thus, they have in place the tools to defeat this progressive theological movement. The tools are in place. In terms of our confessions and in terms of our ecclesiastical books of order. And I pray that we will use them and God will fill us with His Spirit and a heart to be faithful to Christ so that Christ's church would not be adulterated and apostatized theologically, but stay, as I like to say it, on mission, on message, and in ministry.
Dr. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity and Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith by examining the marks of progressive Christianity, topics such as motivation, mission, and message, revoiced theology, and the tie between progressive Christianity and critical theory. To order this 9-CD album, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Thursday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.